This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I feel all broke up, ain't sleep all night. My body's aching, no appetite. Scratchy throat, runny nose too. Got to see my doctor, it could be. Oh, doctor, doctor, I ain't doing good. If I got the flu, then that's understood. He said, open your mouth wide, say, ah. You've got all the symptoms of the flu thus far. I got the flu.
Good yawning this morning and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. My apologies for the late start. Don't worry, I don't have the flu because I've been getting my Tamarind, the last of the season's Tamarinds. But of course, every day I got to check with the Guardian legal team, run past them all the things that I want to say to make sure that I can say them because I am not a lawyer. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 17th of May, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I got a quick happy birthday message. I want to say happy birthday to D. He knows who he is. I hope he's having a great day today. We got an idea. I think it's exciting. I think a lot of people will appreciate it. Today, we are highlighting and celebrating the work of some of our most essential workers, doctors. And joining us today to talk about World Family Doctor Day is Dr. Carol. She's joining us virtually in this conversation. I think she is in the Zoom room. Good morning, Dr. Carol.
Hi, good morning, Ms. Green, and thank you for having me here this morning. And good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely. Today, we are talking about World Family Doctor Day. Can you tell us and tell the audience what is World Family Doctor Day?
Okay, so World Family Doctor Day is a day recognizing family physicians and those practicing primary care all over the world. It was actually coined by WONCA, which is the World Organization of Family Doctors for short. And this was done in 2010. So every year, the executive committee comes up with a new theme, highlighting the role of family physicians. And this year's theme is the heart of healthcare.
Awesome, awesome. So what is a family doctor? And are you a family doctor?
Yes, so a family physician is a specialist in primary care. So I guess let me go into what primary care is. And so that's the first contact patients have with the healthcare system. It involves the development of a relationship between the patient and the physician, in which the patient is a partner in his or her care, and that's very important. Because that type of care results in better outcomes, especially for the patient with chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, et cetera. So with us who are family physicians, we have been specially trained beyond our basic medical degree to provide that care in a holistic, comprehensive way.
Oh, absolutely. So what is, how do family doctors differ from other doctors like general practitioners? Is it the same thing?
Well, depending on where you are in the world, general practitioners are in primary care, but in our setting, family physicians are those who would have had specialty training to provide primary care, whereas general practitioners in the Caribbean setting are those persons who did not have that specialty training.
Okay. Well, I've got a whole bunch of questions to ask you, but I'm really more interested in what it is that family doctors want to share with us on World Family Doctor Day, and maybe I could get back into some of the questions that I have.
Okay, so wanted to talk about World Family Doctor Day because it's an important time, like I said, to celebrate what it is that we do as family physicians. And like I mentioned before, the theme is the heart of healthcare. And it's based on four very important tenets, one of them being the long-term relationship that we established, the holistic approach we take to providing that care, the coordination of that care, and then the advocacy and education that we provide not only to patients, but to the community at large. So with the long-term relationship, and I do want to quote these from Wonka because it's very important. The guardian doctors are typically the first point of contact for patients seeking medical care. They provide continuous and comprehensive care to patients throughout their lives, building long-term relationships with them. This allows them to understand their patient's medical history, lifestyle, and social circumstances, and offer personalized care and support. And a part of that support is the holistic approach, where family doctors take that approach to healthcare, considering not just the patient's physical health, but also their emotional, social, and psychological well-being. They focus on preventative care, screening, and early detection of illnesses to help patients maintain good health and prevent chronic illnesses. In order to do that, we have to coordinate that care. So we serve as a central point of coordination for a patient's healthcare needs. We work with other healthcare providers, such as other specialists, hospitals, to ensure that patients receive the best possible care, and more importantly as well, to avoid the duplication of services. Part of that coordination involves the advocacy and education, where we are the advocates for our patients, helping them to navigate the healthcare system. They also educate patients about their health, how to manage chronic illnesses, make healthy lifestyle choices, and prevent illnesses. So we play a crucial role in promoting the health and well-being of individuals and their communities. And our dedication, compassion, and expertise make us the heart of healthcare, a trusted source for patients and their families.
This is awesome. Okay, so I was doing some research, and one of the things that I read was that continuity of care, right, is very important. Let's talk about, is that like when I get, say I get a script for antibiotics, because I've had maybe a cut or something, I get a script for antibiotics, and I start feeling better after I'm about halfway through the pills, right? Halfway through the antibiotics. I start feeling better, and especially, you know, you can't drink on antibiotics. So I'm ready to have a beer, and I've decided I feel better. I'm going to stop taking the antibiotics, right? So I could drink a beer, just one beer, and drive without any concern. That could be a problem. Is that what we're talking about when we talk about continuity of care?
Not necessarily. So what may happen is that you may come in to us because of that injury and you get your antibiotics. But when you come in, sometimes that's our opportunity to capture you as a patient, meaning that we recognize that, hey, you're coming in for that injury. But at the same time, we can help you to navigate the other important aspects of your primary care, like your health screening and management of chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. And so that continuity means that once I pick you up as a patient, you are my patient. Now, you can see other doctors, other colleagues, sometimes for your acute illnesses or acute ailments, you buck your toe, you hurt your back, something like that. But when it comes to your routine care, the management of your chronic illnesses, your screenings, so your mammograms, your pap smears, your health maintenance talks, your mental health screening, all of those things I'm responsible for.
Okay.
And I continue to be responsible for until you go home to glory.
All right. So that means I may be required. I may be a doctor, right? I say, but I need to call you and let you know that I've had this incident and I'm going to see this other doctor, right? That, like, that's important. I shouldn't feel shame, or I shouldn't feel, like we say, away about informing you that something else has happened and I'm going to see another doctor.
Absolutely not. So one of the important things about having a primary care doctor and our role as family physicians is that we are ground zero when it comes to your healthcare. So whenever you have to see another physician or healthcare provider for something, it's good that we're kept informed so that all of your information is in one place and that we have that information to draw upon when we're dealing with something else. So for example, you may need to have you may have to have your mammogram screening, mm-hmm. but just the other day you were playing softball and you got a puck in your chest.
Yes.
Obviously, I can't do that right now because I had to give your breast time to heal.
Yes.
But I wouldn't know that.
Right.
So it's probably not the best example, but this is where informing your primary care physician of the other things that are going on in your life becomes important. It's not just the health-related aspects. Sometimes we want to do screenings, tests, interventions, and your finances may not be in order.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't know that, and it's our job to ask as well, but if we don't know that, then we're thinking that you would be able to get the things that we're requesting sorted out. And then you come back to us and we're like, okay, why wasn't this done? And then we have that conversation. Whereas if we had it first, then we would be able to navigate other options or alternatives for care.
Oh, awesome. Listen, this is awesome because like I'm a person, I would say I value my medical privacy, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't like to talk too much about what's happening with me. But I like the idea that I have a primary physician or a primary doctor who I can share all of that information with. So when I go to this doctor for this reason, I don't have to share all of that information because that doctor can coordinate or consult with my primary care doctor. And my primary care doctor can share or will have available this important and relevant information.
Yes, so it doesn't mean that you don't share certain information with other providers because when we're asking questions about your medical health, it's mm-hmm. in relation to defined ways to resolve it. So it doesn't mean that you withhold information from those other providers.
Right.
What it does mean is that if there needs to be coordination between your primary care provider and that other provider, then at least that communication can be initiated.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think understanding this helps people feel more confidence and more certainty around their medical care. So where do we find family doctors in our local healthcare system? Where are you working? Where are you posted? Is there a special unit for family care doctors in PHA? Where do we find you?
Okay, so technically we're everywhere. There are numerous physicians throughout the Commonwealth. So we're in New Providence, we're in the public and private healthcare sectors. We are at all of the community clinics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm currently at work right now and my colleagues are helping me to hold down the fort while I speak to you. But I'm at Elizabeth Estates Clinic. We have Flamingo Gardens, Flemington. We have a geriatrician at Annstown. So we're all over in the public health care sector. We also have physicians who would have trained and received their family medicine specialties here in Nassau and went back to Grand Bahama to provide primary care there as well. And we've had physicians in San Salvador, Exuma, Eleuthera, Abaco, you name it, we've been there.
This is awesome. This is awesome. I read that in our local system we've had a medical chief of staff that was a family physician,
mm-hmm.
a consultant advisor at Ministry of Health and Wellness, and mm-hmm. even a postgraduate coordinator at UWE School of Clinical Medicine and Research. So for people who are interested in medicine, what's the scope, the full scope of the work of a family doctor? Like, I don't want to just be a regular doctor. I'm looking for something exciting. What's the full scope of what doctors do? Like, do we have MacGyver doctors in far-flung family islands that are fixing people with Band-Aids and rubber bands?
I would think that the person stationed on the islands are doing a stellar job taking care of the patients and not just putting bands on things.
Oh, no, MacGyver was a stellar technician.
Yes. So family physicians, like I was mentioning earlier, in addition to diagnosing and treating illnesses, we do preventive care, routine checkups. We do health risk assessments, immunizations and screenings. We do personalized counseling on maintaining a healthy lifestyle. So there's a lot that we do in regards to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we also provide management of that chronic care, like I mentioned, for heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, cancer. We essentially are, like I said, ground zero for providing that care, coordinating that care, referring for other persons or specialists to manage as needed. And in addition to that, we're able to provide that care because we've had extensive training beyond medical school, like I mentioned, to mm-hmm. be able to provide that best possible patient care. And that's where our resident had 61 physicians who have achieved their doctorates of medicine or masters in science as qualified family physicians. Mm-hmm. And 56 of those are still in country.
Wow. So we've been able to retain all but five of them. That's awesome.
We've been able to retain a very large amount of the physicians who have trained through the UWI campus here. Mm-hmm. And that's a very rigorous program that we undergo in order to be able to provide that efficient stellar care that you mentioned.
Oh, this is, I'm still stunned. That's a great retention rate. Tell us a bit.
Because we love our country, we love home, so... it'll take a lot to get us to leave. So,
and this is it. I don't know. You know, I think a lot of us think, oh, doctors just go into it for the money. But no, people who become doctors because they're committed to other people.
And yeah, so there's always a business aspect to healthcare because, you know, that's just the way the economy goes. But at the same time, with providing quality primary care, we're passionate about prevention and health promotion, especially. And it's the prevention part, I don't think a lot of persons understand how important that is, because it's not just what we call primary prevention, meaning helping persons to not get hypertension or diabetes. But if they get hypertension or diabetes, the secondary prevention comes in. So we want to keep them from getting all of the complications that come with those illnesses.
Yes.
And like a stroke or a heart attack. And then tertiary, if they do have a stroke or heart attack, we're going to help you do your best to not get another one. And so all those levels of prevention, we are passionate about imparting that information to our patients, to the public, to make sure that we remain as healthy as possible.
Absolutely. We're going to start transitioning to a break. But before we do, is two things I sort of want to put on the table. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. first is, when you say family doctor, can everybody mm-hmm. in my family see the same doctor?
Absolutely. For example, when I first started my residency, I had one patient who was referred to me during one of my rotations. And by the time I was finished residency, I had her, her kids, her grandkids, her siblings, and all of them were coming to see me. So we take care of everyone from the womb to the grave.
Okay. And so
bring your family,
awesome.
Bring your friends, bring everybody.
And then
ready to handle you.
And I was thinking about it in terms of the three layers of preventative care, right? At some point, the family should be there to understand the steps that need to be taken as a part of like the secondary and the tertiary preventative care, you know?
Yes, it's important. I agree. And we do encourage in certain circumstances for family members to accompany patients to these visits so that you can have that conversation, especially if those other relatives are in a caretaker role or an assistant role with that patient.
This is awesome. The other question was this. When I was young, I had a doctor, Dr. Crawford. But when I became an adult, I transitioned away from Dr. Crawford. For people who are still sort of anxious about going to the doctor and checkups and screenings, mm-hmm. Can I sort of, with my family care doctor, my children can stay with that family care doctor as they mature and become adults, right?
Yes. Like I mentioned before,
yeah.
We see all ages, all conditions.
Okay.
And that's the nature of our training. We're multidisciplinary in our approach in that when we would have done our residency, IN, pediatrics, surgery, radiology, ICU, we've been everywhere in the course of our training. And that's part of the rigor that makes us who we are as competent physicians and primary care providers. So we are able to take care of everyone.
Listen,
maybe straight on up to elderly.
This is awesome, and I see it as a part of
and female.
Yes.
No gender discrimination.
I see the world, the family doctor as a part, and the primary care system as a part of building healthier and better cultures around healthcare and appreciation for health and wellness. It's a great way to shift your family culture and intergenerations. But Dr. Carol, we're going to a break. If you can spare the time, please hold on. After the break, joining us, I have Duquesa Dean, and she is joining us today to talk about cervical cancer and a campaign that she and her organization are running. If you can join for that conversation, I would love it, and perhaps contribute if you feel necessary.
Okay, so I'll try to stay on. I may be in and out, but I'll do my best.
Thank you so much, Dr. Patients need you more than I do right now, and we appreciate the time that you've taken with us to celebrate World Family Doctor Day. This year's theme is Family Doctors, the Heart of Healthcare. We will be right back. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9. Talk all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You are on the clock with Erin Green, and I have joining me in the Zoom room is Dr. Carol. Dr. Carol? We still there? We may have lost Dr. Carol. Hopefully she can rejoin the conversation, but that's okay because joining me in the Zoom room right Oh, Dr. Carol, please unmute your mic.
Yes, I'm still here.
Here we go.
We have a live patient listening in too.
Absolutely. Before we bring in our other guests to the conversation, I wanted to ask, is there any programming, any mm-hmm. panels, discussions, seminars? Is there any media information being shared on the public airwaves, like on ZNS, public broadcast channel that people can tune into to learn more about World Family Doctor Day?
Okay, so we have several shows slated with you guys. So yesterday was with Dr. Archer Cartwright. Today is with you. Morning Blend is going to be later on in the week.
Okay.
And we have several activities that we'll be doing to celebrate family medicine doctors as well as giving back.
Okay.
So we have an outreach at Great Commission Ministries this Thursday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And we'll be performing health screenings there for the patrons of Great Commission and those who stop by. So the outreach is there. We're going to be blasting on social media today because today is our social media share. And so you'll see WFDD 2023 trending all over as we promote family medicine and what it is that we do as family doctors.
All right. Now, a quick question. I sell local teas, right? Like thyme tea, sea grape tea. And whenever I sell to people, like thyme is a treatment for high blood pressure and hypertension. But I always, always tell my customers, if you are currently experiencing high blood pressure or hypertension or diabetes, that you should always talk to your doctor before you consume this product. These are the types of conversations that we would have with a family medicine doctor?
Yes. So again, that's part of your primary care and primary prevention. And I applaud you for being a responsible vendor in, you know, promoting the inclusion of family physicians or a primary care provider in that decision-making process. Because, you know, everybody grew up with their fair share of Thoracy, mm-hmm. but at the same time, certain bush teas and bush medicines may interact
right.
with certain medications that patients are on. And sometimes if they have other underlying illnesses that may be undetected at the time until they do tests, so those things may actually make it worse. So you don't really know until you have that discussion. So it's not to say that you can't have bush tea, but you have to do it carefully and in moderation.
And family doctors they're not gonna fuss you and say, why are you drinking this bush tea? That's what I'm always afraid of. The doctor
is our approach is different. The thing is that patient centered care is mm-hmm. an important part of what we do. So we're not gonna be barking orders at you and saying, do this, do that, do the next thing. We have a discussion with you. Tell me about your problem. How is this problem affecting you? What is it that you need help with in addressing this problem? And based on that discussion and examination, investigations where necessary, we say, okay, this is what I think the diagnosis is. These are your options for treatment. You have the choice as the patient to say, I will or I won't. We can't force you to do anything. You are a grown person with your own mind. And as long as you are of sound mind, we respect your decision, even when it's not something that we may not necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
That is your choice.
Okay, awesome.
As a care thinking adult.
Absolutely, awesome. And so World Family Doctor Day or World Family Medicine Doctor Day is on May the 19th. Just as mm-hmm. we close out the conversation, tell us briefly about the Bahamas Association of Primary Care Physicians, how we can get in contact with them, and who should be a part of this association.
Okay, so the BAPCP, or the Bahamas Association of Primary Care Physicians, was established in 2006 under the patron name Ivy Dumont, former Governor General, and the BAPCP is an association of mainly family physicians, but it's open to all physicians who practice primary care and are dedicated to the advancement of healthcare in the Bahamas. Our mission is to establish and maintain standards of practice for physicians in primary care and to empower our patients to become active partners in their care. We do this with the goals of educating the community in areas that will assist in improving their quality of care and enable them to become partners in decision-making, like I mentioned earlier. We provide continuing medical education for physicians that will maintain their competency in providing that care for the community. We assist in postgraduate training of physicians and medical students in our community because a lot of us are associate lecturers with UWE. And we also maintain standards of care for physicians at the primary care level. So with the BAPCP, there's been a slowdown in our activity. We had Dorian, we had COVID, so there's a lot of things that compounded our ability to do our usual outreach. But you can contact us at the BAPCP@gmail.com. So just drop us an email. We're also on Facebook at BAPCP Bahamas. And you can just send a message. Let us know if you were trying to get in touch with a family physician to be a primary care provider. You can always reach out to the various community clinics. We also have the Agape or Family Medicine Clinic that is affiliated with the Princess Margaret Hospital, and that's located off Collins Avenue.
Awesome. Dr. Carol, thank you very much. Like I say, if you can continue on with us, I would love that. And I think it will build the conversation because now I want to transition to our second guest, Ms. Duquesa Dean. Good morning, Ms. Dean.
Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Dr. Carol. Good morning, listening audience.
Good morning. And how are you?
I'm doing well today. Thank you so much for asking. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. And it's my pleasure to host this conversation today on, and I use the title, Bringing an End to Cervical Cancer.
Absolutely. It is All Cancer Month in the Bahamas, which means that we typically focus on bringing awareness to all types of cancer. But our support group, the GD Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group, is lending our voice to the World Cancer Day organization's strive to eliminate or eradicate cervical cancer.
Awesome. And so tell us a bit about the campaign and then the activities that you have planned for this month.
Absolutely. And so cervical cancer is one of the preventable cancers in the world, and it's actually very much on the rise. The vast majority of cervical cancers happen through intimate activities, and that's why it's really important for us to bring awareness to the fact that STDs aren't the only thing that we need to be concerned about when we are engaging in those sorts of activities and taking those particular types of risks with our loved ones, our husbands, spouses, whoever. Cervical cancer is caused by the HPV virus. That's the human papillomavirus. And the best way that we can help to eradicate HPV is by vaccinating our children, boys and girls, between the ages of 9 and 14 before they become sexually active. That is really the best way that we can help our kids in their future prevent, and our girls in particular, because boys don't have cervix, but girls have cervix, but boys also carry the HPV virus from woman to woman. And so it's super important for us to consider their future and help to eradicate this disease by getting them vaccinated. Now, some people are against vaccinations, and that's okay. Like Dr. Carol, I believe that everyone has a right to have a personal choice. If for some reason we oppose vaccinations or we're past the mark, our kids are older than 14, and now it's us. We are the women. We are now responsible for taking ownership of our screening. The best abnormal cells are in your body as it relates to cervical cancer and the HPV is by a routine pap smear. Mm-hmm. So if you have multiple sexual partners, if you are sexually active, I know the guide says when you're 30, have your first pap smear, but I'd like to encourage people who are active to get their pap smears annually because it will tell you within that pap smear results whether or not you have abnormal signs or cells that need to be paid attention to. So the screening is good. The prevention is through the vaccination. And if for some reason you do determine that, or it is determined that you have abnormal cells from your pap smear, there are a number of options. But early detection is key. And so we want to encourage women to use their annual physical time. Those of you who have insurance policies, to use your annual physical. If you have NHI, NHI is currently paying for the pap smear. So early detection is key and knowledge is power.
Absolutely. Dr. Carol, are you still there?
Hi, yes, I'm still here, but I wasn't able to listen in just now. Can you recap for me?
Okay, so Ms. Dean was sharing with us the importance of vaccinations against the HPV, and she emphasized that it's recommended that you have a pap smear done when you have your annual checkup. And so what I wanted to ask you, Dr. Carol, is where in the public health care system can people who do not have health insurance have a checkup that includes, can women have a checkup that includes a pap smear?
Each and every community clinic that serves adults would be able to perform those pap smears. Currently at Elizabeth States, we have a separate person who sees our gynae-related cases. And so they take some of the burden off of us in helping us with the pap smears as well. We also perform our own pap smears on our patients, and at the other community clinics, the providers there can do it as well. So there's no reason for a woman to go without a pap smear if she needs one, because in the public sector, it is available. It's at a cost, and so they can always check with the clerical staff when they do present, but it's much, much less than in the private sector. So understandably, some persons may want to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Ms. Dean, are there any programs to support women financially to engage in this in the detection process, you know, regular checks for cervical cancer?
Well, I know that the Cancer Society runs programs in Nassau as well as throughout the Family Islands where there is emphasis on getting your pap smears done. They run clinics on the various islands as well, so they are actively engaged in helping to make those screenings accessible. And also, if you have NHI, you can choose your practitioner, and you don't have to pay for that medical service, nor do you have to pay for the pap smear. So those are two wonderful programs already in place to help women get access to the pap smear. Also, Dr. Nina Graham, she is the cervical cancer guru here in the Bahamas, and she works with a lot of women. She has a private clinic that's at a cost, of course, but she does offer every January a pap party at a very reduced price, so that women in January can avail themselves to that screening as well.
Absolutely. Now, this may seem like a wild question. I know we are gathering resources to support women's access to these services, right? But I need a whole grant for some young Bahamian to devise a procedure or a tool that can conduct what we call a pap smear, but less painfully. Have there been advances in technology that sort of room for experience by some women during this exam, A, and B, does your organization offer support for women, like maybe someone to go, and particularly younger women that don't have the support of elder women in their families, to go with them to the doctor for the pap smear and to sit with them and sort of escort them after the examination?
Sure. So, Erin, for part one of your question, the only answer I have is that I do know that most medical doctors have different sizes of the spectrum, I think it's called, that they use to insert so that they could scrape the inner walls.
Yes.
I know for me, it's not always 100% comfortable, and the smallest tool possible is what is being used. I don't know if there are any other advances outside of having to use that tool, because, you know, you do have to go high up to take the swab.
Yes, yes.
So as far as I know right now, there are just various sizes of the scope that's used to insert it so that it can open you up a bit so that swab can happen.
Absolutely.
As it relates to part B, our support group, we support women in a variety of ways. And certainly if there are women out there who would like to get the pap smear done and need somebody to go with them, we will assist. We have members in our group who will be willing to accompany them, who will coach them via phone as well. They'll sit with these pap smears may sound scary. And I always say that fair as false expectations appearing real. So we do have these conversations so women know what they will expect when they go into the exam to help eliminate some of that fear. Mm-hmm. And of course, we accompany them if necessary to the doctor's examination. And provided the doctor and the patient gives permission, we can enter the room because it is really an intimate procedure as well. Our support group, we offer a lot of support with women with cancer because the real healing from cancer begins after treatment ends. So once you get diagnosed, you need support. We jump in and we support you. You're going through treatment. Your real focus is on trying to survive while you're being treated. And then after you ring the bell, your treatment is over. That's when we kick in more because that's when you need that mental, emotional, moral, and spiritual support. Because during the journey, you're questioning so many things and there are so many fears. And it's like you're just trying to keep everything except staying alive in your mind. So the real healing now begins after, because you face the question of why me? You face the question of am I a burden to other people? So our support group provides you with those, what we call healing circles, where you are with other women who've gone through what you are experiencing or have experienced and help share their best practices and help you to deal with some of those fears and help you see by virtue of being in a room with 20-year survivors, 25-year survivors, 15 years. Those are already people showing you that it is possible to live and thrive after a cancer treatment.
Absolutely. Now, in these support groups, I imagine we presume that women are going to come to the support group to support other women with their experience of this disease or, you know, a close brush. I detected it early. But do we have support groups for men, for fathers, for husbands, for lovers, for brothers, to learn about how they can support the women in their lives who have the potential to experience this, have experienced it, or are treating cervical cancer and other cancers? In particular, you know, I think a space for men to rationalize what it means to support a woman who may be unable to engage in sexual intercourse because of cancer, cervical cancer, or other cancers or medical issues?
That's a really great question. And the only answer I have is I'm not aware of any. Now, for our support group focusing on women is basically because you need a safe space mm-hmm. to be able to really share your experience and go into like the real and all of the awful things that you may want to talk about, but don't have anybody to share that about. And it may be embarrassing to share those things in the front of people who haven't been there and gone through that. So we really focus on giving them that safe space. But you're the second person that's actually asked about support for men. We do have support for caretakers who are female as well, mm-hmm. but we don't specifically focus on men. And I know that there are male cancer support groups for men who have cancer, but I don't know of any that specifically help the male caretaker or the husband or the lover. We actually did have a male call into us at one particular time for advice because he was like, it was a really big strain on not knowing how to properly support his wife. Their finances were really tight because she mm-hmm. wasn't working. So her salary took a hit. He had to come up with all this additional money. So with the financial strain on the relationship, no sex because of whatever treatment, it doesn't matter what type of cancer you're dealing with. Like, sex is the last thing on your mind. And so, yes, marriages and relationships do need support. That is a part of the journey that I believe more emphasis can be placed on. But right now, I don't know of any resources that are available for men specifically.
Absolutely. But it is something that we now know we need and we're going to create, because what we should be doing is supporting people and helping people support each other. Because yeah. we know about Bahamians, we love each other. And, you know, even when we only love in ourselves, we love in ourselves and love in each other. Dr. Carol, Ms. Dean, please repeat your contact information and any activities you're having before the month ends for people to participate in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I am Duquesa Dean, president of the GD Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. Our website is gdcancersupport.com. My phone number, or the group's phone number, is 802-6012. And Erin, this coming Saturday, we're actually hosting a blood drive. One of the easiest ways to support a cancer patient is by donating blood. A man's blood can split into three or four. It can be used three or four times more in quantity than a woman's blood. So we're looking for any gender to come out and give us their blood, but we really are calling for men to show up and to give their blood, because I think for each pint of blood a man gives, you can give five people some either plasma or other components of their blood. We're going to be at the mall at Marathon from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. just trying to collect bank blood for the Princess Margaret Blood Bank. And we chose the Princess Margaret Blood Bank because the vast majority of people don't have insurance and flock to PMH when this is our third year doing this blood drive. And so we look forward to the public supporting us and helping to stock the blood bank at the PMH hospital.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Dean, from the Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group. Dr. Carroll?
Yes, good morning again, Bahamas. I'm Dr. Shakira Carroll, a family medicine consultant with the Public Hospitals Authority. And if you need to reach out to a family physician, you're not sure where to go or how to get started, you can call our Point Central, which is the Agape Medicine Clinic or the Family Medicine Clinic. And that's at 397-8525. Once you speak to the clerical staff, let them know what you need. They'll get whichever physician is available at that point in time to call back or speak to you and let you know where you can go to access the health care that you need, because primary care is important and it's paramount to the health of the nation.
Absolutely.
And thank you again for hosting us today.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a fantastic conversation, and I know it's the sort of information that people want and don't know where to go to ask or how to ask about it. So I thank you again for sharing with us today. And even I feel more confident in my personal medical and health and wellness journey after this discussion. Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
I hope I can get you all on again soon to talk about it, because all of this focus on human health and no focus on Chicchani health in the great Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Thank you again so much for joining us. We're about to go to the break because Guardian Radio AM and CA Newry is up next, Bahamas. You guys have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that was live. Cut off. Yeah, but thank you so much again for your patience.